This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition, and the second hour where we will still be focusing on the markets, but now paying a little bit more attention to the U.S. equity markets and some of the other major sectors that I think warrant some attention. I am kicking off the second hour with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. And a cold Chicago from what I've been hearing, Dana. Let's talk about the U.S. equity markets and the little bit of a boost that they have gotten from more or less the Fed going on pause. And everybody keeps on quoting this Powell put that is now under the markets. Fact of the matter is, last time we chatted about 2 weeks ago, you were mentioning that these markets were getting to a level that you could start weaning down some of your long positions and potentially even put on some shorts. The market has continued to move higher. What do you think, Dana? Where do we stand now? Is now a good time to short?
I would say, yeah, 2 weeks ago when we talked, those levels, those were basically when we're in the market, in their buying, basically pretty aggressively at the end of December, just before Christmas. We had laid out some of those targets at those levels that we hit about 2 weeks ago. And if you would have said, what's on your wish list buying it in late December, I would have said right there, around that 2640 or so on the S&P. I would have been ecstatic to get that out of the bounce, and we got that as of a couple weeks ago. So we started reducing exposure quite a bit then. If you had also asked me what's your best case scenario for stocks, I would have said reasonably up around 2712 to 2740 or so in the S&P. So basically we're hitting those levels right now. So I would say where we started reducing exposure on the long side a couple 2 weeks ago, continuing to remove exposure as this market continues to inch up. It has continued to its momentum move higher, but I don't think it's gotten it. The market hasn't moved beyond some of the constraints on the charts in terms of resistance and congestion and other challenges it needs to get through to be off to the races again, which we don't think it's going to. So we would continue to take off long exposure here into this move, and you can start adding selective shorts here. I think the breadth is positive and momentum's positive, so that's going against you right now. But if you can pick your spots, you can start adding some surgical shorts, if you will. At least you have some good levels up here, in terms of, the 200-day average, the 61 retracement of the decline and many tickers and many indices that could serve as a decent, stop out, level if prices do break up higher. If they do, at the same time, I don't think it's going to be a sustainable move, but you got to respect Mr. Market when he makes his move, and try not to get run over while you're, waiting patiently maybe to re-engage on the short side, which we're thinking about doing.
So it still sounds very much like you're reading from this bearish playbook rather than a bullish playbook, that the bull market just went through a natural correction. That 20% decline now has you expecting at least still a continued rollover, but is it hard to short at these levels because of, as you said, some upward momentum, some upward breadth carrying it, and the fact that it's pretty much right in the middle of that now short to medium term range from that drop in October?
Yeah, playing the short side is always difficult, especially because the market generally more often than not is rising, especially over the last 10 years. So it's the margin of error is smaller when you're playing the short side. So you got to really pick your spots, especially if the breadth and momentum is basically heading up, is positive. You got to really pick your spots. But like you said, we are playing from the bear market playbook. We do think this is the odds are that this is a bear market bounce, as opposed to, you know, what we've seen in recent years. You know, sell off and then bat, boom, you're off to the races again pretty quickly. At the same time, it's always a challenge, and this time it's made challenging by the fact that we've seen this breadth rust to the upside, which has pretty consistently led to longer term gains. Not always, but pretty consistently. So you have that going for the bulls. We have a number of, again, like our breadth indicators that we look at have mostly turned positive. So you do have some positive factors contributing to this market. So like we spoke about earlier, I think it all comes down to whether this is still a bull market or whether this is the bear market has started this fall. Because from here, you're either off to the races again, like we've seen over the last couple of years, especially given these positive breath signals that we're getting, or we're going to roll over soon and likely move back and test those lows from December and maybe even go a little bit lower. And that would be obviously more indicative of a bear market. And we are in that latter camp, but you have to always keep your options open.
So how about volatility, especially judged by the VIX, which is sustaining a generally higher level, much higher than 2017 and still even higher than most of 2018. Are you paying close attention to the VIX, or at least understanding that this volatility, even if it is on some updates, is still pretty high for the markets, especially where we have been in the last couple of years?
Yeah, you're right. Considering the rally that stocks have had, its volatility across the board has, for the most part, remained pretty buoyant. We do look at the Fibonacci levels on volatility as well as stocks. So typically, if you see a volatility spike retrace and break below that 61 retracement of the spike pretty quickly, then that's a bullish sign for stocks. And when volatility comes in that much, it usually means stocks are probably back off to the races. We haven't necessarily seen that. We've seen the VIX try to break down below that 61 retracement. It's kind of sitting there, so there's no clear-cut signal in that regard. At the same time, if you look at the volatility indices on, say, the Russell 2000 small caps and the NASDAQ 100, those have also more clearly hung up and stayed up around that support level. So they have not broken down, which conversely, as you suggested, would be a better, more bullish sign for stocks if volatility was coming in more. But it is a good tip off that it's hanging up there. It's not deflating like we've seen in recent years. So I'd say that's a pretty adept observation by you, Corey.
So, Dan, are there any other markets that are catching your eye right now? Or is it, quite frankly, just a focus on what's going on in the U.S. equity markets because they have been the most exciting over the last couple weeks to months?
Well, our focus is generally on the equity market. That's where our core niches. But we track all of the markets on a daily basis. And, for the most part, we don't see a ton of opportunity right now. You see, look at the dollar moving sideways. Euro is moving sideways. Precious metals are showing a nice little bounce here. So at least there's been action there. We think commodities have probably, topped out and headed south, but they've basically been running in place here.
All right, Dana, always interesting comments, and I completely understand why the focus is right now on the U.S. equity markets. You are not alone in thinking that. However, there are some other markets that are starting to look more interesting, but I know from chatting with you, they're not quite there yet to get some more money flowing into them. Dana, thanks for kicking off the second hour, and I hope that you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition. Happy to say that I have Trader Vic Sparandio on the line with me. Trader Vic and I are going to do a general recap of where we stand in the financial markets and find some of the opportunities that he sees in different sectors. But first and foremost, the biggest news hands down of this week, and could even turn out to be big news for this whole year, is that Fed announcement that we got on Wednesday, that instead of just being paused in a rate hiking cycle, I think we can now say that the Fed has flipped and they took off any rate hikes for this year, more so just saying they are going to sit and watch and wait and to see what these markets and the underlying data come out to be. Trader Vic, what do you have to say about that flip that we saw in the Fed just this week?
Well, actually, I would date the flip, the 180, let's call it a Barani, if everybody knows what gymnastics, what that means, a forward flip with a half twist. But the thing was, that's January 4th. That's when they officially did it, when Ben Bernanke, Yellen, and on a stage at, I think it was the American Economic Council meeting, a committee meeting, it was some conference, and Powell were at that meeting. And that's when they officially basically stated that they were changing a policy from 16 days before, which is the shortest flip in the history of the Fed in 105 years. So I would say that that was the critical date to watch. So let me just take you back a little bit. In October, I became an official bear on October 18th, when the S&P and most other indices closed below their 200-day moving average. Key there is, I think I've said this before in your program, the slope of the moving average has to be pointed downwards. If you don't sell when it's sloping upwards, only when it's sloping downwards, and that is the number one long-term indicator in the history of America as far as, you know, testing goes. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect. You can get whipsawed by it, but I'm just saying if you follow it, you make money in the long run in a large way. Now, the Dow theory is the second most, let's say, profitable, and that confirmed in early December. I think it was December 10th or so. I'll look it up while I'm talking to you. But the key was that you've been in a bear market, technically speaking, and certainly you've been in a bear market. It was December the 7th on the transport. You've been in a bear market fundamentally if you utilize the fact that the world is slowing. Germany, I believe, is in recession. So is Sweden. So is Italy. So is Spain now going into recession. I mean, the European Union, China, and Japan are, which Japan not in official recession yet, but most of the countries I've mentioned are already in recession. France hasn't come out yet. They absolutely are in big trouble because of the yellow vest movement. So the point of why I was so bearish and why I knew the Fed was making a major error, which is what I've said in many different ways, is because they weren't taking into account the world. Now, understand the S&P, the S&P's earnings, 45% comes from the world of its earnings. So it's huge. I mean, I'm not giving you the percentages. Europe could be 15-16%, but when you add it up all over the world, it's a huge part of their earnings. And most of the world is in a downtrend. So there's no way this is not affecting the earnings of multinational companies, which is what is in the S&P. So all I can say is the flip came from the 19th when they started the increased rates, and that's what the straw that broke the camel's back. Even though it was discounted, if you look at that day, the market got crushed as soon as they announced it. Even though everybody knew they were going to do it, nobody, I guess the hope was they wouldn't do it, but when they did, then the market got crushed. December 25th, Mnuchin says he wants a call with the plunge protection team. the next day, the 26th, the market's up 107 S&P points with no news. Give me a break. See, that's the government at work. Those are things that never occurred in my days, in my trading days. This is just mass manipulation. And then they announce it on the 4th. So you're now in a bear market correction. And that's important to realize, because what the Fed has done, and when the world is in the shape it's in, you can't reverse this. It's not reversible. So even though the market's rallying because of the December earnings news, the last quarter, and that's what you're seeing now, you're going to start to see some very bad economic numbers coming out, in my opinion, because just stopping what the Fed is doing, which is what they've said, they try to use the word patient instead of gradual increases. They say we're going to be patient. And then they also put the selling of the portfolio officially not on hold, but unofficially they're going to slow that down, and they're going to watch debate being data dependent. So you can't, but you're not going to change the fundamentals. The House is now Democratic. They hate Trump. There's no way they do anything that benefits even themselves if it helps Trump. So it's over. I mean, you know, I hate to sound so bleak, but we're in a bear market. This is a rally, which you could expect when you have the Fed change its mind suddenly like it did. And the rally still continues, and the basic trade talks are going to be the last hurrah, because they look good, and there's conversations today that they're progressing. So after the trade talks, whatever happens with China trade, when that's out of the way, now you're going to get all of a sudden a pouring of bad news coming from every direction you can imagine. So I'm looking to be short, but after the trade talks, they're going to come away with something. And when that's over, that's my signal fundamentally to go short.
Wow. So it sounds like even with some of the short-term drivers that could be around the corner, you still very much are reading off a bearish playbook, something that we also heard from Dana Lyons in the prior segment. Trader Vic, I am going to have you back on next segment, and we are going to continue this conversation more about the situation that the Fed and other central banks around the world are in, and if there is anything that they can do to help save these markets, or quite frankly, if the markets are in a downtrend and now we just need to almost take cover and see where the opportunities might present themselves when it finally bottoms. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Trader Vic Sparandio.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We'll be right back. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The governor of Virginia is under fire, first because of comments he made in support of allowing late-term abortions when the fetus is unable to survive after birth. Then a photo surfaced of him and another person dressed in blackface and a KKK robe from when he was in medical school. WTKR-TV's Margaret Cavanaugh reports.
The governor acknowledges the hurt inflicted by the picture, but says in his video message that he does not want to step down.
And I am ready to do the hard work of regaining your trust. I have spent the past year as your governor fighting for Virginia that works better for all people.
The governor came under a firestorm of criticism this week after he talked about late-term abortions during this interview. He claims he was describing a medical situation in rare circumstances and says his comments were taken out of context.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Well, welcome back. Continuing on with our discussion with Trader Vic Sparandio. Trader Vic, we ended last segment with some of your comments about just how negative you are on these markets. I do have to ask, though, do you think that any of the easier money policies, let's face it, the ECB, they thought they would be hiking rates about halfway through this year. That seems very much off the table. And combined with a trade deal, you don't think any of this can save the markets. Do you at least think that it can prolong maybe a bit of a sideways move rather than breaking to new lows?
Well, yes. The answer is, yeah, that's why I say you got to wait for the good news to come out. And, I mean, if you're long, you should stay long. I trade long. I don't keep a long position because I believe we're in a bear market. So I trade and then, you know, buy and sell and buy and sell, but I'm always buying now. The key is I'm looking to sell. But understand, just a point of fact, this rally started on the 26th, so 6 and 31 is 37 days. I categorize these movements going back to 1896. This is a secondary correction, meaning a correction in a bear market, and the median time is 52 days. Now, that doesn't mean this is going to go 52 days. It can go 80 days. It can go as long as it wants or as short as it wants. It gives you sort of a rule of thumb guide about how old this move is. If it were a bull market, this would be very, very short. But if a secondary correction, it's getting close to being an 80-year-old man, if you know what I mean, because 52 days is not too far away. So, but it still has some room statistically. And again, you can't, it's no magic number. It's just a guide of where you are in terms of where these things usually end. And this one is getting mature, but it's still not past the median statistical norm. So I'm only saying that the bottom line, when you pause, you're not creating stimulus. That comes from lowering rates, and it comes from a fiscal policy which is dead in the water. I mean, not going to be anything that happens in this economy that has to do with fiscal policy, in my view, because the Democrats won't even do it if it's in their favor. I mean, they want to get rid of Trump, and anything that's good for the economy is bad for them gaining back their power. So you can forget anything good coming from government. It now is up to the Fed. The Fed just flip-flopped from being bearish, you know, raising rates to pausing. They have to wait another couple of months before they even consider lowering rates. So the first quarter, as you know, of the last several years, I think it's about 4 or 5 years, has been the weakest quarter. So this quarter is going to be especially weak in my view, because you have the shutdown in there, and you've got what people are not admitting or talking about, is you've got a weakening economy worldwide that is going to affect U.S.
Yeah, it really will, and that's something that we've talked about a number of times, is that contagion effect with how weak all the other countries, especially the more established countries around the world, their economies have been. That does trickle straight over to the U.S. You said something interesting there, though, is that you think it'll be a few more months before the Fed can even talk about starting to cut rates. Do you think it's going to happen that quickly? Do you think by, say, the end of Q1, we could be hearing from the Fed about rate cuts?
Well, the way they would do it is to hint to you, right? They hint first. And let me make a point of order. The head of the Dallas Fed, who's not a voting member, and they usually use a shill like this, when the market was really cracking in December, right around when the Fed did that buy program, you know, that marked the market up 100 S&P by 107, he came out and said, I think, you know, we should slow down, we should pause. So he sort of sets the stage. This is this moral suasion stuff that the Fed tries to do. It's a con job. You know, if somebody's trying to sell you something, they don't say, here, sign on the dotted line. They show you the product. They give you a little massage. This thing is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, it's the same pitch, the same concept of marketing. So in this case, I would say that you've got till March before they start to hint, near the end of March, the first quarter, and they're not going to say anything until then. They've already said it. The point to consider is this. Since 1900, the market leads recessions by 6 months. So you can look for a recession, statistically speaking, everyone is, you know, could be a little different. It's not magic. Is July is when the recession's going to hit. That would mean a down quarter in March and a down quarter in June, which I see is very conceivable, although you would hear that talk on TV. But again, where's the stimulus? You're pausing. You still have, right now, Fed funds are 250, and the last reported inflation number was 1.9. So you do have official tightening, you know, if you want to look at it that way. The Fed funds rate is above, substantially above, the CPI. And you're virtually inverting, if you use the 2 year versus the 10 year. I mean, you may be 18, 20 basis points away. So all I'm saying is, meaning the 10 year is higher than the 2 year by about 18 basis points to 15 basis points. So, you know, that's another signal of a recession, is when you invert that curve. But all I can tell you is that, you know, the good stuff is now behind you. The bad numbers are going to come out from now on. So you'll have a decent quarter in the last projected number was 2.7 by the Atlanta Fed for the last quarter. And that's possible. I wouldn't be surprised if it came out at 2.50 or it came out at 2.8, but in that range. But after that, you're in trouble. The market, the U.S. is in trouble. So we'll see what happens, but, you know, that's my thinking.
Okay. What about the U.S. dollar, too? The U.S. dollar will have a couple push and pulls here. With how weak Europe is, that could raise the dollar higher, but with how weak it might trickle into the U.S. and now the Fed being way less hawkish, where do you see the dollar fitting into this trade?
Well, the dollar has been in a trading range, and because Europe is so weak, the euro right now should be five cents lower. The euro is 114.90 in round numbers. It should be 106, but because they manipulate things, they're holding the euro up. Even with the Brexit talk, I mean, it didn't go down much. And then as soon as they stated, and this was in the, I believe, was in the Wall Street Journal, yeah, on the last page about a week ago of the first section, that the ECB was considering doing QE again, and then all of a sudden it spiked the euro, and I can tell you the date as soon as I open my machine. They said this on the 25th, so it broke its lows, it broke this trading range it's in on the 24th. The 25th they came out, orchestrated with the Fed, that the Fed is considering, same day, Fed is considering not selling their portfolio, and that was on the 25th, and all of a sudden the euro spiked up again. And now the dollar, they're still in control of currency. So if you ask me what I think of the dollar, I think it's going to be in this trading range for the foreseeable future. I can't tell people to go long or short it because, again, they're controlling that very well.
That is very true. But hey, Trader Vic, great having you on the show. Thanks for spending two segments with us. Trader Vic, have a great rest of your weekend, my friend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
A doctor's office visit for erectile dysfunction on my smartphone? That's crazy.
No, that's thebestedpill.com. ED can affect 40% of men by age 40. Now there's a 95% less expensive option than Viagra. After a live confidential video consult with a fully licensed doctor, we ship medicines fast, free, and direct in discreet packaging. Read thousands of five-star reviews. Click thebestedpill.com. That's bestedpill.com. The online doctor's office.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter. And if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody has enjoyed the full 2 hours focused on markets and metals. I am wrapping up this show with Mark Chandler. He writes the Mark to Market blog as well as a managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Mark usually joins me every Monday to look ahead to what is coming in terms of data and important potential stories that could drive markets. But because this week we did have that Fed meeting, we pushed this conversation off until Friday, which makes us or allows us to recap and digest more of what we heard this week. And Mark, let's start with the Fed. It was quite a dovish comment out of Powell and throughout his press conference. Instead of saying that they still want to hike rates, they said more so that the Fed is going to be patient and data dependent. We've heard that before, but it still, I think, surprised some people just how dovish Powell was. I talked about it a lot this week. I even talked about it in the last couple of segments, but I do want to get your comments. Please break down what your main takeaways were from the Fed and its new pause stance.
And I agree. I think the Fed did adopt a neutral bias. You know, in the old days of Fed watching, we understand the Fed would have a bias. And I'd say, of course, it's 4 rate hikes last year, pointing to 2 rate hikes this year. The Fed had a tightening bias. I think Powell announced a neutral bias. The rhetoric changed. But I'm still in the camp that thinks that there still is a difference between the rhetoric and the operational policy. So while the Fed talked about flexibility, it didn't change what it was doing. It's still allowing its balance sheet to roll off by about $50 billion a month. And it hasn't signaled that it's planning on cutting interest rates. In fact, its economic assessment was roughly the same. And so because of that, I'm thinking that the Federal Reserve can still be in a position towards the middle of the year to raise interest rates. The rhetoric changed. I think that I would take Powell at face value. The rhetoric changed because the circumstances changed, and that is these global cross currents seem to be strengthening. And especially when you think about where we were, the market expectations, talking about recessions and things like that, I think slowing down the Chinese economy. And we had this past couple of days, PMI surveys for January. Europe and China are off to a rough start.
Now, you mentioned it there, Mark, and that is these global concerns, which really seem to have finally caught the Fed's attention. but we're already seeing some of these other central banks like the ECB, like the People's Bank of China, already turning to a much more dovish stance. It seems like those ECB rate cuts that they were, or rate hikes that they were predicting halfway through this year are already off the table, and the People's Bank of China has been freeing up more and more cash to hopefully stabilize their economy. Do you think that sucks the Fed into an even more dovish stance?
No, I think that what's going to happen is that we're going to see that the combination of cold weather here, and I don't know about you, but here in the U.S., in the East Coast, the Midwest, shockingly cold enough to interfere with commerce and businesses. And we've had the government shutdown, and we typically have a week of Q1 U.S. GDP ever since really the crisis. And so I think that we have to look past the first quarter, but some of these headwinds are going to be lifted. The government's reopened. I think we're going to get more stimulus from China. There's a lot of speculation before the weekend they could cut interest rates ahead of their Lunar New Year holiday. I think that people get a little excited about that. But maybe coming some more stimulus on that monetary front is likely to be forthcoming as they return, if not sooner. I think that the ECB has signaled that their risks are now to the downside. And typically what the central bank wants to do is they have a baseline forecast, but policy is aimed to try to minimize their risk profile, their risk assessment. So I think that we've gone. I think that that's what I think we've got to digest here is the shift from this fascination with quantitative tightening, where the balance sheet of the major industrialized countries is going to shrink. I think that phase was short-lived. And maybe it means that the global economy isn't strong enough to withstand that yet. But the decisions, I think the ECB is going to expand its balance sheet by issuing new loans, partly to replace old loans. It doesn't expand its balance sheet, but there might be some net new issuance there. But at least its balance sheet won't shrink like it was projected to do. China seems to be expanding its balance sheet. The People's Bank of China had this incredible bank recapitalization program announced last week where the banks issue, to raise bank capital, they can issue these perpetual bonds. And then the people who buy these perpetual bonds, other banks, can swap those bonds, those perpetual bonds, with the bank, with the People's Bank, with the central bank itself, and get bills. And now they can do what they want with the bills, like using them for repo operations and that kind of financial transactions. This is a way for the banks to be recapitalized. Just as hundreds, literally, of companies in China reported right before the deadline, they lowered their forecast and outlook, I should say, for their earnings. And so China, I say, it's hard to read what's happening in China, the lack of transparency and visibility, but I can judge by how serious a policy response, how serious the medicine is, how serious the illness is. And so China seems to be giving officials, and including the central bank, large stimulus there. So bottom line here is I think we've gone from a quantitative tightening type of psychology. Markets realizing now central banks have been now scared back into easier approach.
Okay. Again, this all depends on data, and data a lot of the time is also driven by markets. What are you going to be watching closely to see if the Fed has the all clear to get back into a little bit more of a hawkish stance?
So I think that like the necessary and sufficient condition for the Fed to become less patient would be sustained gains in the rate of inflation, material measured gains in inflation. I think that's what Powell sort of hinted at. With the economy still growing above trend, not necessarily in a hurry to raise interest rates again, given these cross currents, unless he sees economic conditions change, including, he said, for him, inflation. So I think one thing that was clear, he distinguished his view from other people on the Federal Reserve. He spoke for himself when he said what he would be watching. But I suspect that others on the Fed will be watching the same thing, and that is rather than thinking about yield curve or forecasts or inflation expectations, to look at what is actual inflation doing. And if I'm right, but other people like me, it's not just my view, if the idea is that the U.S. economy was growing near capacity and the federal government, through a combination of tax cuts and spending increases, gave us a little bit of like a juice, a little bit of a buzz from that. And I think on the margins, we should be looking for some kind of inflation spinoff from that, from providing stimulus when the economy is already growing near a trend. Whether that inflation is sustained is a different matter. But it does look to me like we should be, if I'm right about the economy, some more juice left in it still, that we should be expecting some rising price pressures. And the data will convince the Fed that there's still scope to raise rates. And the reason that they want to raise rates, and I think that's important, it's not simply because people make a mockery of this, but to raise rates so they can cut them later. That's part of the story. I wouldn't put it quite that way. I think they have to enable monetary policy. When interest rates are too low, you can't really use it. As a policymaker, you want to have a lot of options. But here's why ultimately I think that why the Fed needs to raise interest rates a bit further. I think about the past recessions. Now, the standard theory now is that recessions get killed because the central bank, the Federal Reserve, raises rates too much, too fast. But I think about the last crises we've had, the great financial crisis. Fed policy too tight? I don't think so. What about before that? We had a recession with the tech bubble. Was that because of the Fed or because of the financial excesses around the new technology? And before that, we had a savings and loan crisis that triggered a small recession in the U.S., or facilitated a small recession in the U.S. Again, it's not because the Fed was raising rates too much, but because of financial crisis. And so I think that the Fed wants to is particularly sensitive to that, especially on this side of the financial crisis.
Hey, very interesting comments there, Mark. And I see where you're coming from in terms of where the Fed stands right now, but it's undeniable that the rest of the world continues to struggle and the other major central banks are getting way more dovish before the Fed. Everybody, I appreciate you tuning in this weekend. Please keep in touch. Email me at any time, fleck@kereport.com. I've been getting some great emails from our listeners. I love the conversations that we get to have back and forth. And, hey, everybody, have a great rest of your weekend. Same goes for you, Mark. Great chatting with you.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.